Turn, please, to Romans 12. Now, some people have mentioned the fact that they have a little difficulty following all that we read, but we're reading from the New International Version, and if you don't have that version and find it difficult to follow, please just listen. One of the richest things I think I ever do is listen to other people do one of two things, pray or reading the Word. I get a great delight listening to my children read God's Word. I get a great delight listening to other people read. And so if you just want to follow along, do so. Be a little lazy, but do listen. And this is a little lengthy. We go from sacrifices to love, to submission to authorities, such as paying your taxes, and then back to love. Listen to this as Paul talks to the church at Rome in the 12th chapter of this letter to the book of Romans. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you, for he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love, one to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now there is a brief interlude in the writing of the apostle to the church at Rome. He starts with, bring your bodies and all that you are, and make sure that your dedication and consecration is known to God and recognized by you who dedicate and consecrate. Then he says, whatever you do, love. He talks of enemies as if we should expect to have some. I don't know that I really look for enemies, and some time ago I discovered that I had an enemy, and I didn't know that, and I didn't know what to do with him. And he started to do some things that were very hurtful. He lives a long way from here, and so I didn't quite know how to approach the man, so I sent him gifts, and each month I sent him a gift for several months. And at the end of about a year, he wrote and said, why do you do this? I just sent another gift. And after about 18 months, he said, don't send any more, but just tell me you've forgiven me. I wronged you. I sent him one more gift. I said, maybe you'd like to read this translation of the Word of God. And I sent him a new Bible. I think we can do that. I didn't know I had an enemy, but when I discovered I'd got one, I somehow had to learn to feed him, and somehow had to learn to give him something to drink. He was showing his enemyistic, if there's such a word, attitude, and it seemed to say that he was hungry and thirsty. And so I thought, well, I might be able to warm his head up by heaping coals of kindness, burning coals perhaps. But we must overcome evil with good. Then the apostle, as you read, says, you've got to deal with the local authorities. They're there because God has given them a job to do, albeit it may be Satan that is prompting them, but God is allowing the authority of that regime to govern us. We call it democracy in this country. In other countries, there are dictatorships. In some few countries, there's a monarchy. The good ones, there's a monarchy. And we like to think we've got the handle on the whole thing. Paul says quite bluntly, you really don't. No matter what politics you follow, there's only one policy to deal with, and that's love. Love one another. And he says the only debt you should incur is the continuing debt to love one another. Now, it's easier said than done. I've heard people say from pulpits, you don't have to like the person, just love them for Jesus' sake. I don't know how you do one without the other. So I guess we have to work harder to love. You might make a mental note, and during communion tonight, just look around the congregation. Is there anybody you don't love that you can truly say, I really don't like that person, and I don't want to be bothered to love them, and they've hurt me, or whatever it is that the reason you've got, and I don't love them? Then at the end of the service, go to that person and say, it's hard, but I love you, and I'll work at it. A lady, I appreciated her very, very much. She came to me and she said this: when you first came to this church, I really didn't like you. And I was rather shocked. I thought everybody liked me. And she said, it was hard. It was really hard to get to like you. You've got some funny ways and you say things wrong. And it was hard to like you. But she said, I've learned to love you. I hope now she likes me. And I hope our fellowship is reasonably sweet. Can we do something like that? A little exercise tonight. If there's somebody here you don't love, start loving. Paul says you're indebted to God, to Jesus. You're indebted to Christ to love one another. And then last, he says you must understand this present time. You've got to wake up. And you've got to learn to wake up. You can't keep sleeping. You can't keep on sitting in those pews warming them up every Sunday. It's time to wake up. Jesus is coming. If you're not ready for that, you're going to be taken by surprise. It's no good to sing, "What a friend I have in Jesus," if you're not really looking forward to sharing that friendship with him and with other people. So don't get sidetracked. I must confess I do get sidetracked, don't you? I'm not sure I get sidetracked in debauchery and drunkenness and orgies. Sounds good. And sexual immorality. I'm not sure I get sidetracked into that, even though it may sound pretty good. That is, I don't get involved. But ladies and gentlemen, watch out what you watch on television. Be careful what you look at in the magazines. And be sure that you don't get sidetracked into this stuff in your mind. Don't let your heart get waylaid. Instead, says the apostle, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. I guess one of the greatest problems we face is thinking, how can I gratify my sinful nature? We talked about this in a sermon a little while ago on worldliness. You know, what's worldly to me won't be worldly to you. And what's worldly to you won't be worldly to me. And vice versa. We can play that thing backwards and forwards. The lady that buys a several thousand dollar dress and just dresses herself up, or the fellow that's a real sharp cookie, all the latest style and all the creases and presses in the right places. If they do that to seduce another of the opposite sex, then they've entered into a contract that is, according to the Bible, flesh. If they do it to show off and to show and prove where they stand in the social strata of the society in which they fellowship, they're in the world. But if they do it to promote themselves and to let everybody know what a great political giant or a great argumenter they are, or a person that is really satisfying and gratifying themselves, they're of the devil. And you have those three choices according to God's word. Paul says, don't do that. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus. Put on Jesus. He ends this portion of scripture as he started. Bring those bodies, sacrifice them, lay them at the disposal of God. And then, dear friend, he says, make sure that you have so put on Christ that you are a new creature in him. We need to seriously consider this scripture.